in the Word of God to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 in the book of the Ephesian Epistle. How blessed it is to read, as well as to meditate and study the blessed Word of God, and particularly concerning the great plan and purposes of God in redemption for the human race. Chapter 1 in the Ephesian Epistle. May I begin reading at verse 1 and reading only through verse 14. Paul, writing by the Spirit, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, meaning let us eulogize, let us praise and speak well concerning the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption or the place of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence or intelligence and understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is, or which is the earnest or the pledge of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. May God bless the reading of this portion from his precious word. May the Holy Spirit illumine our hearts, our minds, and our souls with the blessed portion that we have before us in this section of Scripture. I'm sure that it is very evident by a very careful reading of this section. There are three great persons mentioned. We find God the Father mentioned in particular. We also find, following that, the reference to God the Son, and then, in closing the reading at the end, the mention of God the Holy Spirit. The three great persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How blessed it is to realize that in the introduction of this great epistle, with all the great truth that it contains, the introduction brings before us the work of God the Father, the work of God the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit for the redemption of the human race. How blessed it is to realize that in the greatness of the Godhead, beyond our human understanding and comprehension, the glory and the greatness of their person, the eternal character of their beings, the eternal God the Father, the eternal God the Son, and the eternal God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, as one has well said, three in one and one in three. But praise God, the one in the middle, he died for me. But these great persons of the Godhead, our scripture declares, each one of them working for the redemption of your soul and the redemption of mine. May I point out in the very opening of the chapter, in verse 3 particularly, you have the great Godhead implied as well as mentioned. When Paul eulogizes the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," not will bless us, but he hath blessed us, he says, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He eulogizes the Father. He mentions also the Spirit of God, the spiritual blessing, because all the blessings we have, they are ministered unto us and revealed unto us by that Holy Spirit of God, who will guide us into all truth. And then he declares all those blessings that are in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, in heavenly places above, even in him. Oh, the greatness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your redemption and for mine. But consider them separately as we begin our reading in verse 4. And I think as we go down through verse 6, we have very definitely given to us the work of God the Father in regarding the redemption of the human race. We see his purposes long before the foundation of the world. May I begin reading in verse 4 regarding the statement regarding God the Father? "According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world." Pause for just a moment. Take in the blessed truth, telling us the very person of God the Father chose, made a desire, expressed the intention, the desire to have a family of children, and chose before the foundation of the world. For may I indeed repeat with emphasis, long before the world was ever founded and the creation began and came into existence, God had an eternal plan for the human race. And he chose. He had a desire. He had a longing. And we read that longing as we go on at the end of the verse, that we, as Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. May I very definitely and happily say, the Father wanted a family of children. He determined that he would have them, and they would be in his presence, holy, without blame, and before him in his eternal love. Oh, what a great desire. May I reemphasize, my beloved, if you happen to be with us without Christ as your Savior, without knowing this blessed Father of his, may I declare that long before the world was ever established, God desired that he could have you as his child and bring you to him and before him holy, without blame, before him in love. Oh, the joy of recognizing the children and the kind of children it was his determined will to have. And you have, as you go to verse 5, you have the statement presented very thoroughly, having predestinated us to the place of the adoption of children. Can I reemphasize it again? I'm sure many, if not all of us, are aware of the fact, as far as we know from the Word of God, there was only one blessed Son of his love that he ever had before he had a family of children. And that was the blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent to redeem us. But here's his desire. I want to have more children. I want them to be like my Son. I know the joy of realizing the heart's desire of God the Father. May I humbly and to my own heart declare the truth. He desires to have me, and he desires to have you before him in the moral beauty and the glorious likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ in his blessed perfection. Holy and without blame before him in love. That with his determination, predetermining before the world began to have such a family. And the amazing thing is this, that his determination was to take them out of the earth, was to obtain them from the human family. And as you have it stated very definitely, at the end of verse 5, it was according to the good pleasure of his will. Now I will confess, don't ask me why he wanted such a wretch like me. All I can say, he wanted me. It's plain and evident. It was according to the good pleasure of his will. Please may I emphasize? Oh, may I emphasize that blessed God and Father? He had a strong determination that he willed you and I could be his child. What a father. When? Before the foundation of the world. And he determined everyone would be like his son, holy and without blame before him in love. Now, beloved, please may I state, don't stumble over the word predestination. Nothing to be stumbled over. If you stumble over it, the best thing that I could tell you is this. Predestination is none of your business. It's God's business. You can't predestinate anything. Not even yourself, for that matter. But God's business. And if you read the word predestination on any occasion in the Holy Scripture, in your New Testament, it always points to the purposes of God for his redeemed children. Not for the unsaved, but for his redeemed children. His purposes to what he is intending to bring them to. The future. But may I say this, if you want to know something about it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and make sure that you're destined to the right place. Your responsibility and mine is believe to be destined. Here we have God saying, I wanted you long before you were ever born. Long before the world was ever made. Well, will you please notice something? As you look at verse 6, it was to be, and it is to be, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. I often think of the words of another servant of God written long ago. I humbly sometimes agree with him. He believed the grace of God was even greater than his love. For were it not for his grace, he couldn't have loved us. For his grace means we're absolutely unmerited to his favor to be his children. But here is his determination. It will be to the praise of the glory, not the glory of man, not the glory of the world, not the glory of angels, not the glory of anyone but him and his grace. My beloved, may I say this? You go to chapter 2 and verse 7. Go with me for just a moment to chapter 2 and verse 7. Let me point out what he's going to do in the ages to come. Verse 7 of chapter 2. That in the ages to come he might show, that he might display the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. My beloved, the exhibition of all the redeemed saints throughout all eternity is going to be an exhibition of his grace, declaring every one of them deserve not his love and his kindness. But it's to the glory of his grace. Oh, beloved, the joy of knowing the meaning of that grace, unmerited upon our part entirely. But the joy that he has grace. Grace there is my every debt to pay. blood to wash my every sin away, power to keep me spotless day by day, in Christ for me as one well wrote. My beloved, please, if you want to know why God wanted to save you, it's because He wanted you. Because He wanted you. Don't tell me that God doesn't want you. God the Father says, I wanted you. And I thank God for the words to declare as you read it in 2 Peter chapter 3. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the joy of knowing. Please, may I emphasize it. I cannot do it too greatly. I am amazed. The older I get, the more I go on for the Lord. I'm amazed that the Father wanted me. So I want to tell you, the older I get, the less I feel worthy of His love. And if you want to know the true growth, I think of the true growth in grace. The Apostle Paul had it. You remember the Apostle Paul? The earliest occasion that he mentioned his office as apostle, in 1 Corinthians 15, he wrote, I am the least of the apostles. Later on in his Christian experience, in Ephesians chapter 3, if you please, he wrote, I am the less than the least of all saints. Go to one of his last epistles, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He calls himself the chief of sinners. For as Paul grew spiritually, and as the Lord increased to his heart, he himself decreased in his opinion from the least of the apostles, less than the least of all saints, and then the very chief of sinners, my beloved. Why? It's all to the glory of God's grace. And the joy of knowing the Father wanted me. My beloved, I can never tell a greater message to any precious soul that's out of Christ, that God the Father wants you and made a determination to have you as His child, if you will come. But now let's notice at the end of verse 6, where we find, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now I'm sure you recognize immediately, we come to the next great person in the Godhead, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, co-equal and co-eternal with the Son, the Beloved Son. It's the name of His Beloved. It's what He has said on more than one occasion. This is my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my Beloved Son, in whom is all my delight. And He accepts everyone in the Beloved. May I suggest to you, He cannot receive you unless you come through the Beloved. Did not the Lord Jesus say in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to the Father, through the Beloved. Oh, my beloved friend, the joy of seeing when one comes, they will be accepted in all the value, in all the greatness of that one who is the most beloved to the Father's heart, His beloved Son Himself. And why? Well, let's read on now. For God the Father entrusted the work of getting the children to His beloved Son. And what has that Son done? Read verse 7 very quickly, very completely. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Here you have the work of God the Son immediately emphasized. Oh, that great work. The work of redemption. Meaning that the Father must buy us back from the bondage and tyranny and the cesspool of sin and redeem us to Himself. But only through the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. Let me meditate upon this text with you. For here we have the crux. In what way and manner only you and I can be redeemed to God the Father through God the Son and His meritorious, blessed atoning work upon the cross of Calvary.
Where is excuse me, where is redemption found? Only in Him. Only in Christ. You never find redemption in the church. You can't find redemption in the preacher. You can't find redemption in the priest. In no other person, but only in the Son, in whom He is the only one who can redeem us. And the place of redemption, may I say better than a place, redemption is a person, the person of the Son. In Him, we have redemption. May I lovingly ask, have you been to Him for redemption? He has obtained it, He has provided it. But please know the power of it. The power of redemption through His blood. May I emphasize that? The precious blood of Christ. Let me quote the words of Peter immediately. 1 Peter chapter 1, from part of verse 18 and 19. For ye know that ye have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. May I make a special emphasis, particularly for a reason that I'm sure should be done. I know of two evangelical leaders in evangelical testimony. One of them a very well-known radio preacher who does not preach redemption by blood. And I quote verbatim one of them saying to his audience on one occasion that people have been hypnotized by those hymns that sing, "There's power in the blood," or "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus," and swallowed it, denying the efficacy of redemption is in the blood. My beloved, may I say the power is in the blood? It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And long ago God said to the people of Israel in the land of Egypt, when I see the blood, not when I see if the lamb has died, when I see the blood applied, I will pass over you. My beloved, may I say with joy and affirmation, if the application by the Spirit of God of the blood of Christ to the believing soul that brings redemption to that soul, the blood of Christ. In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, Paul reiterates it to the Colossians. There's power in that precious blood. What can wash away my stain? His well to be found. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, the joy of knowing. And may I give you the thought? The joy of knowing that when you die, you can rejoice, you're ready to go when you have the blood of Jesus over your soul. One dear man, I had the joy maybe 50 or more years ago, leading to the Savior. And as I saw him for the last time on his dying bed, he said to me, first of all, "Brother Bramall, I'm going to look for you when I get to heaven." I said, "Mr. So-and-so, how do you know you're going to be in heaven?" He looked at me with a smile and said, "I'm trusting the precious blood of Jesus." I said, "Praise the Lord, I'll see you." And the dear chap's been waiting for almost 60 years. I haven't got there yet, but I'll see him. Then look, it's the precious blood of Jesus that covers and cleanses us from all sin. And the joy of knowing, as God said long ago, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. And then you've got the proof of redemption in the same verse. What is it? The forgiveness, the taking away, the remission, the removal of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And my beloved, when you've got that proof, I'll tell you what you'll say. You'll be able to see what we often have done. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And you go to the book of the Revelation, and you look at the saints that are saved in the great tribulation period, and go to chapter 7 of Revelation, and you find the revealed, as John sees in the vision, there was a great multitude. And John is asked, whence came they? And he said, to the elder thou knowest. And he answered, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Tribulation, literally the great one, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Beloved, you got the blood all the way through the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and through that precious blood, there is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah! How precious to trust it. And that brings you to not only to and you've got again, according to the riches of His grace, unmerited favor, the plenteousness, He's so ready and willing to forgive sins. May I say very frankly, you don't have to ask God to forgive you. What you need to do is accept what He's offering you. Through this man, said Paul in Acts chapter 13, through this man is preached unto you, announced unto you, offered unto you, the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. My beloved, look! The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what joy to realize, it's the Son who did the work to redeem us. And may I repeat, every child of God will be in the Father's house above, will be there through the blood of the Savior and the sacrificial work of Calvary's cross, and the joy of knowing their forgiveness, complete and eternal. Can I say a word of testimony? It may be strong, but I believe I'm telling the truth from my whole heart. When I look back to my day of salvation, when I trusted the Savior in the month of February 1914, I can clearly say I never had any doubt as to my salvation. I've had no troubled conscience as to my question of my eternal destiny. And my sin, as the hymn writer put it, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. My beloved, what joy. Through this man is offered the forgiveness of sins. And all that believe are justified in the sight of God forever. What a salvation. And then as you read on regarding the Son, it's not that's not all. We haven't time to go into it in detail. But will you please, as you read down, you'll go down to verse 8 and 9. He's not only redeemed the souls of those that trust Him and made them the children of God, but He's abounded to them in all wisdom and intelligence, bringing before us the mystery of His will. We read of the Father and His will, the good will, the good pleasure of His will. And here's the good pleasure of the Savior's will. What is that? Which He has purposed in Himself. Look in verse 10 and 11. In that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when time shall be no more, He'll gather in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, and saying, in Him we also have an inheritance. I've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And look at verse 12 in consolation, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted Christ. May I put it this way? It's almost hard to believe. When the Father sees me in glory, He's going to be happy because I'm His. When the Savior sees me in glory, He's going to be happy because I'm His. The good pleasure of His will is going to be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. What a joy to realize. Please, may I say, I cannot emphasize too greatly the desire of the Father and the desire of the Son in coming to redeem us and doing the work of redemption and to bring us into that glorious inheritance My, if I wasn't saved, I think I could get saved right now. I'm glad I don't have to again. But oh, this is the work of the Godhead. But that's not all. Go to verse 12 and 13, rather. 13 and 14. In whom that is in Christ ye also trusted. And when did you trust him? When you heard the word of truth. When you heard the gospel of your salvation. But in whom also, upon believing, or after that you believe, literally upon believing. Now you see the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. My beloved, may I say, with joy, that moment that I trusted the Savior, when I committed my soul to his redeeming grace and power, and came to him as a poor, guilty, lost, hell deserving sinner, he forgave me my sin. But at that same time, the Holy Spirit sealed me. The Holy Spirit entered me. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, wrote Paul in Romans 8, he's none of his. But the moment you trusted him, as Paul writes here, the moment you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And listen, my friend, no one can break that seal. No one can break that seal. For the Lord Jesus said in John 16 of the coming of the Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost, he will abide with you forever, and he shall be in you. My beloved, I was sealed for glory way back in 1914. I remember one occasion driving in my yard years ago. Two men were coming off the porch. I recognized they must be Jehovah's Witnesses. And I recall as I talked to them, I said, what would you gentlemen like? What do you want? They said, we'd like to talk to you about the Bible. And I looked at them and said, I think you're about 70 years too late. For the joy of knowing that upon being believing, the Spirit of God had sealed me forever to be the possession of Christ and the possession of the Father. Note the words, upon believing you were sealed. You were confirmed with that Holy Spirit. And why is he called the Spirit of promise? Note here in the next verse. Because he is the earnest, meaning the pledge. The word earnest is an old obsolete English word. I'll give you the thought of how it was used in the old days. When a soldier or when a man in the British wanted to enlist in the British Army, when he passed the enlistment requirements, the first thing that the officer that received him, that welcomed him into the British Army, the first thing that he gave him the proof that he was already enlisted, he gave him what they called the King's Shilling, a piece of money, a shilling. And that was the promise. It was the earnest. It was the place. Now you're in the King's Regiment. My beloved, I tell you one thing, when the Holy Spirit came in, it was the pledge that I belong to God and belong to Christ. And that pledge, he will never break. Please notice, he is the pledge of our inheritance. How long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Spirit of God will bring me and be my pledge till he brings me to the glory of Christ in heaven above. Hey, amen. Let me say this. You can't lose the Father. You can't even lose the Son. You can't even lose the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Oh, the joy of knowing it. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work for the redemption of the human race. Oh, the blessedness. Please, as we had our morning reading from the Scriptures this morning, it was on the glory of creation. But may I give the suggestion and the truth? Is not this even a greater glory? Greater than the glory of creation? The glory of redemption. Oh, the great theme. The ones who were the creator where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit accredited each one to their place in the creation. Yet the greater work has been the redemption of the human race. My beloved, may I say this? You'll never find any other persons in the universe that were concerned for your redemption and mine than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then may I add in closing words of solemn warning. Don't forget that if you refuse their work of redemption, there's no hope in eternity. You'll stand condemned in their presence in the judgment that is yet to come if you stand without Christ. What great work has been done by God the Father? Well, may the apostle write as he does in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God the Father wants you. God the Son died to redeem you. God the Holy Spirit waits to seal you the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus. May God grant, if anyone knows Him not, they truly will believe on the Lord Jesus this moment. And we who know Him, let us rejoice and say what the apostle did. Blessed be God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, already done for the glory of His grace. Shall we pray? Beloved and blessed Father, we thank Thee for that great, mighty work of redemption by God the Father, planned and purposed and determined, by God the Son, brought into reality by Him coming to the earth to give Himself for the judgment of God for our sins upon His own blessed holy soul. In Him we find our redemption. And then God the Holy Spirit, sealing when the believer has trusted the Savior forever to be thine. We can indeed say all hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit. Blessed three in one, we are saved by the blood of the crucified one. We pray this moment, Lord, for anyone and everyone who may be with us without the Savior. Oh, pierce their conscience and heart, and may they melt before Thy holy presence, confessing their need of redemption, and receive it for taking it from Thy dearly beloved Son without money and without price. We bless Thee, the great Godhead. God the Father, we adore Thee. God the Son, we adore Thee. God the Holy Spirit, we adore Thee. And we pray that as we separate and close the service, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father God, and the fellowship or the conviction of the Holy Spirit as need be with us as we close in the name of the Savior. Amen.